This podcast is brought to you by The Shift.
Hello and welcome back to the Storytime Podcast. And I want to take a quick minute to thank today's sponsor, Skillshare. So Skillshare is the online video platform where you can pretty much learn to do anything. And they are announcing a new class with YouTuber Lily Singh. It's called Social Media Storytelling, Making Videos People Care About. Join video producer, storyteller, late night host and YouTube star Lily Singh for an in-depth class on her storytelling process. Learn all the tips and tricks that have led to her success across multiple platforms and adapt them for your use. In this hands-on class, you'll dive into Lily's world, explore the basics of online storytelling, the hustle of keeping up with social media, and the process of choosing the right goal to power your content creation to success. Sign up now to Skillshare. You get a free 14-day trial by using the link down below in the description or by using code CLISARE. That's code C-L-I-S-A-R-E, CLISARE. So thank you, sponsors, and let's get on with the podcast.
It's story time!
Hello and welcome back to the Storytime Podcast. My name is Claire. I go by Clizair on the internet. And this is the podcast where guests tell me their best stories. And today I have with me Ella. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. So would you like to introduce yourself? Tell everyone where to find you on the internet.
Yeah, sure. My name is Ella Dawson and I'm a sex and culture critic. And you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, all those good things at Bros and Pros because I write prose about bros. I have terrible taste in romantic partners. And you can also find me on patreon.com/bros and pros.
So you have a very interesting story to tell me today.
Yes, I do. It is a tale of the internet at its best and worst. Yeah, I can just jump in.
Yes, please start from the beginning.
Yeah, so this story technically starts when I was in college. When I was 20, I woke up one morning in a lot of uncomfortable pain because I had an outbreak of something mysterious down south. And my first thought was, oh God, what could this possibly be? It's probably an STD. And I rushed to Google and Google gave me all of my worst fears in the form of photos. Never do that. Never try to diagnose yourself. It's a mistake. But I went to
Dr. Google's very negative.
I know. Dr. Google thinks you're going to die. Like that's usually what happens. So I booked an appointment with the campus health center for students, and the nurse on duty very kindly informed me that I most likely had genital herpes.
Okay.
Fun discovery, especially like days before your 21st birthday. It's like not the gift you want from the universe.
Definitely.
No. And so I immediately was really freaked out because I considered myself this super responsible sexual person. Like I definitely got around, but I always used condoms and got tested for STIs. What I didn't know at the time was that the standard STI panel, when you pee in a cup, doesn't include herpes.
Herpes. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Till just now.
Surprise. Yeah. Herpes is, it's more commonly diagnosed through blood tests or through like a culture that's taken if you're having some kind of symptoms.
I would have thought it was like the most common STI.
No. Well, it is one of the most common STIs, but it's the testing is a little more involved. And tests are also a little unreliable, like blood tests. So it's actually not recommended that you get tested for herpes unless you're having symptoms. I know. And it's partially because it has this huge social stigma. Like people think of herpes as this horrible life-ruining diagnosis. So a lot of doctors actually think you're better off not knowing that you have herpes if you're asymptomatic. So like if you have herpes and you're not showing symptoms, they're like, let's just let them live in blissful ignorance, which leads actually to quite a few people transmitting herpes accidentally.
Yeah, because they don't know they have it.
Yeah, it's a mess. And so I have this new diagnosis. I go online. I'm learning all of this for the first time, like super shocked. And I also like, I had been a Planned Parenthood volunteer. I did a lot of like abortion access volunteering and sex education activism. So I'm like, how the hell am I the last to know this? Like how has this happened to me? And I also thought of people with herpes as being like dishonest and irresponsible. So I'm having this whole identity crisis of like, I thought I was this one type of person and now I am. Am I this stereotype? Like it was horrible. It was one of the most painful mental experiences. Even though physically, like, having a herpes outbreak isn't fun, but I've had worse sinus infections. Like, it wasn't that bad. And I was really, I'd always been someone who was interested in sexuality, and I wrote about sex. Like, I was literally in the middle of writing my senior thesis about feminist erotica. So, like, I'm very comfortable talking about sex. And I was just really shocked. I had never known any of this before about herpes and STIs. Yeah. And my impulse was, I had these like two warring impulses. Like, on the one hand, I'm this sex writer who loves to talk about sex and her, and not herpes, and like the sex I'm having and all of this. So my instinct is to just yell it from the rooftops. Like, I have herpes. Isn't this crazy that I never knew it was so common, that there is all of this misinformation? Like, I wanted to talk about it. But on the other hand, the stigma is so powerful that you're wrapped up in all these feelings of shame. And even though I was reading these statistics about how common herpes was, and that 2 in 3 people in the world had the same strain of herpes that I do, HSV1. Whoa. Yeah, it's really common. I'd never had a conversation about herpes before. So I, to my knowledge, I didn't know anyone who had it. So I kind of like lived in this like weird shame state for like a year, like 2 years, I guess. Before I finally found the courage to start quietly blogging about it on like my own little corner of the internet. And so I was 22 years old when I first wrote about it just on my blog. And I wrote about it in the context of, I wrote erotica. That was part of my life. And a lot of erotica authors at the time were debating, whether or not your character should have to use condoms. And like, I think like some tiny indie publication.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. Super niche, like community drama, like, like erotica authors arguing with each other about whether or not it's like censorship to require the characters use condoms. I think like one tiny indie publishing house had said that was their policy, like not an issue of censorship. Very much people on the internet arguing passionately. And so I wrote a blog post being like, hey guys, like, I always either have my characters use condoms or intentionally not use condoms. And it's part of the plot because I have herpes. And so when I have sex, it's either I always have to have a conversation about condom usage. So as an author, like that's part of my work. And that was my first time ever speaking on the internet about having herpes. And I expected like the world to end. Like I expected my colleagues to be uncomfortable with me. I expected to face some judgment from friends and acquaintances on Facebook. But people were really nice. I received a bunch of messages on Facebook from like old classmates saying that they were herpes positive. And like coworkers would ask me to lunch and I wouldn't know why. And then we'd get to like the diner and they'd be like, so I also have herpes. Like, let's talk about it. I've never met anyone who talks about it openly. So it was this really positive experience.
That's
of
amazing.
People just, yeah, I was really, it was so like soul fulfilling to be like, I expected people to be nasty about it. And all of a sudden now I know that my best friend gets cold sores, which is a form of oral herpes. And like my uncle has X, or it was just like, all of these people who I'd always known because I went first and said I had herpes were like, hey, yeah, me too. Let's grab lunch. And so I was definitely writing for like my tiny little corner of the internet though, like people who knew me and like maybe their friends, like yeah. The most traffic I got was maybe 1,000 or 2,000 hits on something like tiny, tiny. But then April coincidentally is STD, STI Awareness Month. And so a few months after I started to blog about it, I was invited by a friend of a friend to write an article for Women's Health magazine.
Oh, wow.
Because, yeah. And like, I had my blog, but like, I had never been paid to write anywhere. Like I didn't have any bylines. Like this was very much the first time a stranger was like, I'll pay you money for words. Yeah. And so I was ecstatic. And they wanted me to write an essay about what it's like to date with herpes. And I, at that point, I had no frame of reference for how much you should get paid to do things. So they were like, do you want $75? And I was like, yes. which in retrospect, like I got robbed blind. but I wrote an essay for them that I think was quite good. It was very funny and sexy and unapologetic. And it basically was about how I actually love to tell people that I have herpes because I can see on their face, like the moment they realize how little they know about it and how weird it is that they've never had a conversation about it. Like it's really fun to be the first person someone meets who has something in their life, in my case, herpes. And so I wrote this essay. I wrote the headline, Why I Love Telling People I Have Herpes. I think that's it.
Which headline.
You're going to click on it. Exactly. And like, I was currently a social media intern at TED Talks. So like, I knew how to write a great headline. Like that was my job. So I wrote the essay. They sent me the $75. It goes up on, I think it was April 14th. And again, like I'm 22 years old. I'm an intern. My job is to be on Facebook and Twitter all day because I run social media accounts. And so it goes up at 4 p.m. And immediately within about an hour, I start getting Facebook messages from strangers.
Really? And
yeah, like very fast. Like I'm in conferences, like I'm in meetings, and I start seeing these notifications popping up in the corner of my window from people saying, like, I just read your article. I have herpes. Like I've never seen anyone talk about it the way you did. You made me feel so much better. Like really lovely. Most of them, some of them were a little weirder, like people sending me novel length stories about their life and how traumatic getting diagnosed was and like really heart-wrenching stuff. But also like I'm a 22-year-old intern. Like I'm not your therapist. I don't have the mental capacity to help you. Like it was very strange. And I just kept getting more and more notifications. And then I started to get emails. And again, like within the hour or two of the article going up, I got emails from journalists wanting to interview me because this was like 2015. So at that point, internet culture was just like finding weird viral phenomenons and then other websites writing them up really quickly.
Yeah, they'd hone in on it. Yeah,
exactly. So very quickly, I go from being this anonymous person who has a blog to, oh my God, a journalist from the Washington Post just reached out to me. And then we had a meeting. It was me and my boss and the CEO of the company. And I'm like, I'm an intern. I'm trying to get hired full time after my internship ends. I'm trying to make a good first impression on the CEO. And I'm basically freaking out because all of this is going on my laptop as I'm trying to speak to this person. And after the meeting, my boss pulls me aside and I'm worried she's going to be like, what the fuck? Like you screwed that up. And bless her. She was like, you're white as a sheet. Go home. Like, I know there's a lot going on online. Just get out of here. Like go cope with whatever's going on. So I left the office. I like sat down on the curb outside of my office and just hyperventilated.
And sorry, because, did she know about the article?
Yes, she did.
So she knew, what you were.
And she was super supportive. Like she was so excited about it because she was intellectually curious about it. She was like, you're a great writer. Like, do you? Very grateful for her.
But yeah, I would presume that people who work at TED Talks like have an idea of, first of all, like good journalism and stuff like that. But then I'd say it was good that she could remember what it was like because your first time going viral is really overwhelming.
Petrifying.
It was really good that she could remember what that felt like because she's probably so used to it.
Yeah.
Maybe like not her personally, but you know what I mean?
But exactly. Like she'd seen every day, like a TED speaker's talk would go online and then they'd become a celebrity immediately. So like we'd seen it happen to other people. It's probably very weird to see it happen to your intern, but she was very sweet. And so I like went for a walk. I called my ex-boyfriend who was in Europe with his parents, like 4 a.m. his time. And I'm just like, I'm going viral, like sobbing on the phone. And he was like, look, you've always wanted to talk about this. Like it's happening a lot faster than you thought it would. You didn't plan on one essay making you go viral, but this is great. Like he reminded me that it's okay. You want this, even though it's a lot. And then I called the guy I was currently dating and he had like a psychology background and he was like, Ella, I think you're having a panic attack. Like the human brain is not meant to process that amount of attention. Like go get a burger, eat it very slowly, and then call your mom and have her take you to a doctor, which is what I did. I like went to a Five Guys and ordered a burger and like ate it very slowly, trying to be like mindful of every bite, try to come back to my body.
As a quick aside, we only got five guys in the last couple of years here in Ireland, and it is amazing.
It's the best. It's the best. And like five, I love Five Guys, and it's like such a juicy, flavorful.
Oh yeah, it's so good.
So like perfect when you're having a panic attack to just be like, you know, focus on this. And so, yeah, I called my mom and she took me to like a walk-in health clinic, and the doctor was like, so you're not here because you have herpes. You're here because you're internet famous and you're freaked out. I was like, yes. And he's like baffled. And so he gives me a Xanax prescription. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. He's like, you're having a panic attack. And he went through my medical history. He's like, I think you've always have anxiety and this is just spiking it really bad, which wound up being very true. So took a Xanax, took a nap, felt better. But
it seems like straight off the bat, heavy medication. Is it? I don't know. I think it's not allowed here. Like, I think that's why I'm
It depends on your dosage. Like, I think that I was taking, like, he gave me a bunch of pills and was like, break them in half, drink it with water, and then go to bed.
Okay,
kind of stuff. Yeah. But it is like, it's a hardcore medication. And I think seeing his reaction to how freaked out I was made it feel like, it made me realize just how freaked out I was, because it sounds like such a silly thing to be like, strangers are trying to tell me how grateful they are. Like, but it's when 1,000 people are trying to get in contact with you, and journalists, even if it's all positive attention, like if you went out on the street and 1,000 people tried to speak to you in person, like you would have a nervous breakdown. So the fact that it was happening online didn't make it feel any more normal. So panic attack kind of warranted. But like the rest of that week then became, I would wake up every morning and a bunch of people would start texting me like, this publication wrote about you. And like, you're on the front page of the Washington Post, the website, and like the Daily Mail wrote about you. And like the Daily Mail is, you don't want to hear that the Daily Mail has written about you.
Yeah. Never know what that's going to come out like.
I know. Cause they look for like the most sensationalist thing. And like the article the Daily Mail wrote wasn't negative. They were pretty just like, this 22-year-old tells everyone she has herpes. Like they just kind of repeated what I'd said at face value. But
best it could have gone, really.
I really lucked out. Like to this day, I'm like, thank God that somebody didn't decide to make me into this insane figure. But what they did do was they found my Facebook profile.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And like, I had very good privacy settings because I worked in social media. So I knew how to do that.
Facebook, and did they link it?
They didn't link it. Thank God. But what they did was all of your profile photos default to public. So they pulled all of these photos. Mm-hmm. And like the weirdest one was there was a photo of me and my dad on my dad's birthday. And like, I have my arm around my dad as he's like blowing out the candles on his birthday cake. The Daily Mail took that photo and cropped out my dad. And it was just, it's one of those moments where I was like, this is insane. Like my life is now, I'm now a public figure in the way I'm being treated. And
And I feel like 2015, because I was working in news in 2015, and there was a real misunderstanding around whether like journalists having the right to take people's profile pictures. I remember them doing it all the time.
And exactly. Like it's so invasive.
It is so invasive. I really feel like it is.
Yeah. And that for me was like, that was, I think, the biggest boundary, even though it seems like a small thing, because it's photos of me and my family. And like, yes, it was on my Facebook, but it's a private Facebook profile. They just found all the photos that were accessible.
Yeah. It wasn't and your like writer profile with, you know, no. like headshots or anything. Yeah. No, exactly. I definitely agree with you. I would be freaked out by that. All right.
It was really weird. And thankfully my mom is a photographer. So she was like, we're going to make you some headshots this weekend. So we went out and she took some really adorable headshots where I look very much like a child, because I was 22. But yeah, it was just like overnight, my whole life had changed. And like, there are these weird examples that stick in my mind. Like the Daily Mail one was a huge one. My ex-boyfriend's mom shared an article about me on her Facebook. And like, this is a woman who was so intimidating to me. She was a corporate lawyer. I'd always been so afraid of her that I just never clicked with her because I was so shy. And so to have her be like, this is my son's ex-girlfriend was just like, thank you. I don't know how to process this. And it was just very hard to be normal for a while because there was this like simmering onslaught of attention online. So I would hang out with my friends and they're having a normal conversation and I'm like glued to my phone because you just never know. And thankfully, like I hadn't received a bunch of trolling. Like I wasn't getting harassment. I was more just having people be weirdly creepy. Like people sending, like a few people sent me photos of their dicks being like, is this herpes? And I'm like, God, just because you're not doing this in a sexy way doesn't mean I want to see your junk. Also not
Why
a medical.
Is there always a dick pic involved?
There's always a dick pic. It's yeah. It's like one of the hard laws of the internet. But yeah, it was really weird. And eventually I was invited to do like Huffington Post used to have Huffington Post Live, which was their 24-hour video news channel that they had online. And wow. They invited me. Yeah. And it's like since gone defunct because I don't know if anybody was watching it, but it was part of like the time when everyone was pivoting to video really hard. And they invited me in to do like an on-camera live interview. I'm still 22 years old. An intern. And thankfully my boss was like, I know what to do. And she called the company's publicist and was like, will you help my intern? She's very scared. And so the publicist gave me some like basic media training about how to sit and how to slowly answer questions and not get caught up and like really simple advice, but super effective when you're a child. And so I had all of these coworkers really stand up to support me and give me some skills. And like I did the interview and my hair looked horrible because I didn't know how to get a blowout yet. But but I did my best in my like very cheap polyester Forever 21 blazer. But yeah, it was really weird. And then after that, BuzzFeed covered me. And like when BuzzFeed writes about you, that's a whole new level of weird internet fame. The BuzzFeed articles were the first time I experienced like really nasty Facebook comments.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Like weird stuff. And like some of it is the simple, like, ew, STDs are gross. Like you're disgusting. And then some of them got really vivid and violent being like, you're a threat to society. We should brand you with like an H so that everyone knows before they touch you. Like you should kill yourself. Like the classic.
Wow, I didn't realize BuzzFeed had such a negative.
Yeah, like especially when it's a link shared on Facebook where
that's true, actually.
The people who like aren't actually reading it, they're just seeing the post out of context. And I think at that point, like a lot of people were writing the really sensationalist headline being like, this 22-year-old is proud that she has herpes. It's like, that's not what I said. I'm just not ashamed of it. And then from there, like that was when like the weirdos, like the hard conservatives, the like super religious freaks, and then the men's rights activists, like that's when they noticed me.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm a woman talking about having sex and not apologizing for that. And I have an STD and I'm saying I'm still sexually active as opposed to like being in a leper colony somewhere. So I made some men angry with my existence. And like at that point, there started to be like weird articles trying to figure out who I was dating and like where I went to college and like creepy shit and talking about how I represented like the downfall of society. And they found out I was a women's studies major in college. So they're like, she's a feminist. And this feminist wants people to celebrate their STDs and like just like twisting my work completely beyond recognition. And eventually I wound up being like the target of like a mob hate campaign online.
Oh my
where,
God.
Yeah. Like it's bizarre how quickly the internet escalates. And like, you've probably seen it because you're an internet personality. Like things can happen in 24 hours and your entire life is different. And so like InfoWars made a video about me. Yeah. Like,
oh my God.
Really, really escalated. And again, like at that point I was probably 23, 24.
This was like going on for a while. It like continuously sort of escalated.
Yeah. There would be like waves of interest. So like there was the first wave in April, May, 2015. And then I think the BuzzFeed article happened in like September. So like for about a full year, it was just every month there'd be a new thing. Because every time one journalist would discover me, other people would see it. And so there would be these ongoing
this new interest. Yeah.
Yeah. And when the InfoWars alt-right thing happened and like Milo Yiannopoulos and like all of the crazy people, that was like kind of a breaking point for me because I had said all that I had to say about herpes. Like,
yeah, it's not your brand.
Yeah, like you run out of things to say eventually. I kind of wanted to get on with my life and write about other things. I had a day job. I was just kind of ready to move on. And I had been asked to give a TEDx talk about herpes, which I was like, this is great. I'll give the talk. I'll say everything I have to say, and then I'll move forward. Like it'll be my one last big thing that I'll do. And the week before I was going to give the TEDx talk was when the InfoWars stuff started. So I started getting like horrific harassment emails and like mob harassment on Twitter, like all of the worst shit that we now know is part of the alt-right. Like, yeah, before we had that phrase.
Like, I think, like, yeah, I can't imagine how it must have felt to be sort of against the InfoWars army. Like, yeah. My God, if I could think of anything worse, like,
terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so toxic. And then, like, it's just you against this, you know, because I feel like they're so negative in the way that they talk about things. I can't imagine that they weren't negative in the way they talked about you. And I would, you know, they kind of drive people to go and harass God. That's awful.
Yeah. And it's like, they're all having fun. Like,
yeah, good for them.
They're enjoying it. Yeah. Like they're, it's this powerful rush of like, we're going to hate on this person. And it's this mob mentality. And so for them, it's entertainment of like, let's make this girl's life a living hell.
They probably don't even realize individually the damage that they're doing. Cause like one person's like, what? I only told her to kill herself. It's just one person. But then there's like 10,000 people. It obviously gets very overwhelming.
Yes. Yes.
And fair play. I don't know how you could, like how you dealt with that. That is.
I had that Xanax. But it is like, it's so disturbing. And it's also incredibly bizarre because it's only coming to you through a screen. So like if you put your phone down, it doesn't stop because you know it's still happening, but like you're living your life, you're in your home, you're hanging out with your family, you're at your job. Like it's the most surreal thing because no one is yelling at your face. No one's knocking on the door, but you're being threatened. And it's so hard to like evaluate the risk that you're actually facing. And it's also just like, it confuses your brain because you have this fight or flight response, but there's nothing to fight physically and there's nowhere to go. So it really did like power to me at 24. Like, I don't know how I got through all of this crazy shit. I went and stayed with the guy I was dating who was still in college and like hid in his dorm room for several days and just kind of put my head down. And I still had this talk to give like a week later. And so I came really close to dropping out and just being like, I can't do this. But my friends and family were like, fuck no, you're not dropping out. Like, this is what you've always wanted to do. Like, don't let these crazy idiots online scare you out of it. So I gave the talk. It went really well. I really enjoyed it. And it very much felt like I have done what I wanted to do. Now I'm going to move the fuck on with my life. And I basically did. Like, I stopped writing about herpes, but the internet doesn't forget. So at that point, that was also 2016. And so we had the election going on. And like,
oh, yeah.
And like all of these awful people who had circled their wagons to harass me, like InfoWars and these people who wound up being the alt-right, were really active and organizing online, and it all fallen in line behind Donald Trump. And so they still knew of me, but for me, it was like, I was seeing all these people who had been talking shit about me and hurting me online now becoming national names and people associating them with this political movement. And it was so bizarre. And so I started saying on Twitter, like, hey, like these people have been harassing women online and especially like women of color online for a long time. And like a lot of them were part of Gamergate. Like none of this is new. You got like most people just didn't know this was happening. And so actually an acquaintance reached out to me who was working on Hillary Clinton's political campaign and was like, do you want to come volunteer with us? So I was basically a digital communications volunteer for Hillary Clinton's campaign. Yeah, it was really fun and super validating. And I wrote an essay that I put up on Medium that was basically about my experience with the alt-right and how what they did was like part of larger sexism and racism and homophobia. And we needed Hillary Clinton to win because all these people were being empowered by Donald Trump. And that felt really satisfying. It also went viral. I wound up getting a letter in the mail from Hillary Clinton.
Wow.
Yeah. And like, I'm at my dad's house, so it's framed up here. And like, she basically was like, I really appreciate the activism you've done around STIs, and the abuse that you've gotten online is disgusting. And like, just like a really nice letter. And that just, that fucked me up to know that Hillary Clinton, like, A, knew who I was, B, knew that I had herpes, and like had written me a letter. And so that was like, that was for me, that was validation of everything that had happened. And then obviously we know how the election went. So she didn't win. And then we had Donald Trump for 4 years, and a lot of the people he empowered are still around. And I like, I'm not writing as much about herpes anymore. I write more about sexuality and relationships and everything else, but I got through it. And the weirdest thing to me has been, I haven't received any harassment for a very long time. Like, I feel like after the election of Donald Trump, they all of the people who were harassing me got so busy ruining our country that they kind of left me alone. And so it's very strange to know that like at the drop of a dime, you can become the internet's main character, and receive all of this harassment, and it can change your life. And then just as easily, it can just vanish. And like, I still have a lot of Twitter followers. Like I have a bit of a platform. People with herpes still know who I am usually, 'cause they Google herpes. Oh my God. And then they find my TEDx talk. But now I'm a normal person again, for the most part. And it's very strange. But it really was like, it was like a 2 or 3 year period of my life where I got this STD, this STI. I felt like shit. I started to talk about it immediately, overnight became internet famous for it and treated like a god by the herpes community. And then now I'm normal again. And it's just very strange. But it taught me a lot about the internet, taught me a lot about how to communicate online, and certainly about politics. But it's very weird to like have gone through that. And now I've been with my boyfriend for many years, but like on our first date, he was like, so I Googled you, watched your TEDx talk. You're pretty cool. And like, he was unfazed by it and thought I had like a lot of chutzpah, and we're still together. But like, when I apply for jobs and they Google me, I always say in my resume, like, I'm a fun Google, so that I'm acknowledging that it's a thing.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's always going to be there. And for a while on my Tinder bio, I had like, my favorite professional accomplishment is InfoWars called me a slut.
So, oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah. And like, it worked really well, 'cause guys would Google it after matching with me, and they would either unmatch me, and that's fine, or they'd be like, you're really dope. So but it is like, it's just a reality. And like, my hope is that one day I will achieve something else that is meaningful.
Yeah.
But I also feel like in my own small way, I really helped people without even intending to, because getting diagnosed is horrific, and I hope that I do help people feel normal in that moment. But it's real weird. And that's my story.
Yeah, that was really interesting. I've learned a lot, but also like, I just can't believe you kind of like, when you said info, because I was thinking in my head, I was like, God, the worst thing would be if like InfoWars picked this up or something. And then the next thing you said was like, and so InfoWars picked it up. And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yeah. I didn't realize it was that level. So fair play for making it through. And hopefully
thank you.
Everyone will be positive in the comments on this podcast, and there won't be any resurgence of any negativity. But fair play.
Thank
and do you want to remind everyone where to find you on the internet, where to find your writing?
Yeah. If you just go to elladawson.com, you'll find all my writing, my TEDx talk about herpes and all that jazz. And then you can find me at Bros and Pros, wherever you like to find people on the internet. And I'm also on Patreon writing about herpes, sex, dating, mental health, being internet famous, all that good shit too.
Cool. And I will make sure to put all the links down in the description on YouTube and in the show notes of the audio platforms. Thank you so much for watching and or listening. Thank you so much for joining Ella and sharing that story.
Yeah.
And for those of you listening, if you're listening, you can listen on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And if you could give us a review, that'd be great. We're soon to be on Amazon Music as well. And yeah, thank you so much, Ella. And thank you so much for watching. And I'll see you in the next one. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This podcast was brought to you by The Shift. For more like this, check out theshift.ie.